Coming up on Patriots This Week, 35 unanswered points. New England fans are not used to expecting the unexpected.
Touchdown, Jordan Matthews, and Philadelphia adds to its lead.
Never mind the inexplicable.
This has been a first half special teams nightmare.
Where the Patriots dare, the Eagles soar. What once seemed improbable became the possible.
But I'm the person that throws it the most, and I got to make good decisions with the ball. Just got to get back to work. Got to do a better job.
Now it's a Texas showdown. Houston could prove if the Patriots do have a problem.
I think we've done a good job preparing. We just got to execute better. I think we got to do a better job playing. You know, hopefully that results in wins.
Now it's time for Patriots This Week.
On Sunday, the seemingly unthinkable occurred as the Patriots suffered back-to-back losses for the first time since 2012, and their third phase special teams let them down against the Philadelphia Eagles. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with Scott Zolak and Matt Chatham, former quarterback for the Pats, my radio partner, and a three-time Super Bowl champion and a special teams ace. Not accustomed to seeing what we saw on Sunday when the Philadelphia Eagles ripped off 35 unanswered points because of, in part, special teams breakdown.
Should have had this wacko out there running down under kicks, right?
Well, I think some of the biggest issues that you saw in that day, in the event that you want to say, wow, we've got a major special teams problem, you go back, you look at it, and you say, wow, were they a lot better than us? Did they just kind of kick our butt? Or did somebody just blow it like we've never seen someone blow it before? And I think that's, when you talk about the punt block, you just talk about a young player who didn't block his guy. It's not a confusing look. You know, Chip Kelly didn't drop some dramatic scheme. He just didn't block a guy. We've seen him block many, many times. It's really, you know, how do you fit the storyline around that? It just happened.
Worst part of that, too, he comes right up the middle. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you get a hand in off the edge. Those ones really hurt when they come right up
just,
the gut.
Just to explain it for people at home, the way this works, offensive line works a lot like punt team offensive line, essentially. And you had two guys stacked upon one another. You know that when the play begins, you have one of the two of them, whichever one sorts to your side. You don't predetermine it. Well, they twisted, and he didn't take the twist. So it's just a mental error. When we talk about the punt return that happens to a touchdown, I think that's more of an issue of, hey, tip of the cap, they made a nice play. But that only accounts for about the first third of the return. Darren Sproles did not get touched, didn't have to make a cut until maybe 30 yards into the return. And then there's two people. There's a nice little freeze frame of both the punter and attacker right on Darren Sproles at the 40-yard line, and they blow the tackle. So you take what's a, hey, nice tip of the cap return to something that becomes cataclysmic. Something you can't overcome.
Yeah, part of that too. And you listen to our call on it. I said, you know, and you're doing okay. He's at the 40, the 50, and I said he's gone. Yeah. You know, the second, like what Matt said, 30 yards into it, and he's at full speed. Yeah. He's an all-world returner. You know, guys like that, you got to credit them for making the play. The other one, the Nate Ebner kick. Sometimes you take risks, and it blew up in their face. I do think that emotions in the game change, and for anybody that dismisses the emotional part of it, that you're down 14-0 now, all of a sudden. We're a team offensively that couldn't even get across the 50. Holy cow, we got the ball here around our own plus 40. Let's get something going here before the half. And then boom, you know, the floor kind of fell out after that.
Yeah, that particular play occurs with a 14-0 New England lead. Patriots finally get going in the second quarter. Ebner, the former rugby standout before he walked out at Ohio State, tries to kick it into some dead space, in the words of Bill Belichick. He didn't think there was a tremendous downside to it, but as you said,
say rugby. The balls are different.
I put it this way. I didn't like the call, but I don't really believe much in the momentum. From a defensive player standpoint, again, it's not momentum in that you're now facing someone who just got the momentum from you. I'm a defensive tackle. I've been sitting on the sideline. Do I care that it's marked at the 40?
Oh, my God, we got to stop him 60 yards now instead of 70.
It's not that big a deal. But I think the bigger issue is there are sort of tiers to risk that you take on special teams. I love risk, obviously, as a special teams guy. I like them more on punts because on punt fakes, you can read the count. You can make a determination if we got the numbers to make the play. On the bounce kick stuff, it's the bounce of the ball. So it's a little bit more risky. That said, when I said tiers of risk, I think it's important to understand, had they done a surprise little dribble kick or had they done like one of those onside kicks, the ball would have been marked at their 45 had they not got it. That's a bigger issue. That's much more risk. This is a pooch kick to the far 40. Ends up being a difference of 20 yards of field position. It was just like one incompletion on a dig route.
He brings up a good point here. Because when you punt, we've seen, and even the Eagles kicker the other day, punted the ball in the end zone continuously. So it's like you're going to punt it in for the touchback or you're going to try and pin him inside the 10, and there's your 20 yards of difference of field position. It's still had to stop him for 60 yards. But in their mind, it's the mindset of, hey, we're not completely out of this, where, you know, you get that sucker. I can see what he's trying to do. Let's get on top of them. Let's put them away. 21 on the board before the half. Then a game's over.
There's an even bigger swing, though, after that play. It's 14-14. The Patriots are in position to take the lead in the third quarter. And you're talking about a 10-point swing at least and possibly a 14-point swing. Third and goal to go from the five. What happened?
Well, I think that's your three legs of the stool. I mean, if you wanted to sort of talk about what happened in this game, it's those two special teams plays, and it's the swing of points from your own four-yard line or from their four-yard line. You don't get the touchdown.
That's 14 points.
It's 14 points, yeah, or at least 10. I mean, at least you count for the three. I think on that particular play, if you watch at the top of your screen, Scott Chandler has a one-on-one situation with a linebacker, beats him badly.
Now, was that on the left side?
On the left side,
yeah,
the top of the screen.
See, I think Tom was looking dead center, dead center.
He was. And I think in part of that, at the left guard position, you got beat pretty badly. So there's someone at his feet, so he has to get rid of the ball quickly. He throws into a double team. I think the smarter play in that situation is throwing the stance.
Well, why are we even there, though? Why we're first and goal from the 1 foot line. Yeah, let's quick snap it. We get blown up. Now all of a sudden we're second and goal from the five, and now we get in. Here we go. We're pass mode. Okay. Get your bigs in, run it in. I'd love to see them do it. I think it also at this time of year is a big thing for those offensive linemen. Like it's kind of they've kind of been in disarray up front. Let's pick five guys. Let's get Shaq Mason in the game. Let's get Trey Jackson at the fullback. Let's run it down their throat.
You mentioned the pressure on the interception. There was pressure the play before where Tom had to throw it away. He's been hit, according to the NFL statistics, 36 times the last three games. Yeah. What gives up front?
Well, I think the bigger issue is when you remove Rob Gronkowski or Julian Edelman from the blow part. Now, understanding that Jules wins a lot with stuff from the outside that returns to the inside of the field. Gronk does a lot of clear out stuff on the inside of the field unless they extend him. When those guys are in there, they pull coverage with him. When they're not there, there's a lot more traffic low. That's just the reality of life. There's more people there. There's more math. You know, there's people in the inside of the field. So what that means is that you have to resort to longer down the field plays. And on the outside, those plays take longer to develop, which means you have to protect better, and it's tough to protect when you're not running the ball very well.
2.1 seconds he was releasing the football when those guys were healthy. It's up around 2.6 is the average now. That's half a second. So it goes to show you that half a second is equivalent to about two steps for a defensive lineman to get there.
And another problem, too, is when guys are getting open and he's delivering the ball, they're not catching it consistently enough.
I think that's fair. I think the biggest issue they had, so if you want to sort of push away from the table and look at this game, I think if you look at that final drive where you had several drops, right? I think what we learned from this is not that they're an offense that can't score because they put up 28 points and are on the doorstep of 35, which is a great game against anyone. But they're not a team that's built, decimated as they are, to go 100 yards in a minute. Okay, I think that's fair because you mentioned these drops. These are sort of those gotta-have-it situations we're so used to seeing them make. There were several drops in the gotta-have-it moment. They're just not built, I think, now to score that way. In the breadth of the game, when they don't have the crazy turnovers and crazy problems, I think they can iteratively get the ball down the field. Not in that situation.
And so the quarterback showed pretty good hands. Albeit preceding an interception, nonetheless.
Instead of going to play, made me all tingly. You know, you get excited, but then you realize, okay, we make the big play, then what do? We shoot ourselves in the foot trying to get the ball to Brandon LaFell on a deep, you know, drag over the top route. Whether he quit on that, whether it's a bad throw, remains to be determined. But it seems like they compounded every good play they made with a bad play.
So the Pats suffer their second loss of the year. Meanwhile, in the NFC, Carolina remains unbeaten, and perhaps Cam Newton has a beat on the MVP. We'll be back right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week, the Putnam Player Spotlight is on Scott Chandler. Tired of watching the 6'7", 260-pound tight end catch passes against them in Buffalo, the Patriots signed the 30-year-old as a free agent. The Iowa graduate has 19 catches and 3 touchdowns this season, and expect to see Chandler become a bigger part of the offense until Rob Gronkowski returns. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We're back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak. Patriots This Week continues, guys. And while the Pats suffered their second loss, Carolina came perilously close to suffering its first loss. But Cam Newton leads Carolina to a win at New Orleans. Is he indeed the front runner for the MVP?
Yeah, I think it's switched this week. Absolutely. I think it's a two-man race prior to this with Tom Brady, with Cam Newton. But to see the lack of help he has on the outside with his big receiver going down in preseason, they just continue to fight, whether it's, you know, making a throw. And he made a throw in that game against the Saints. He was completely flat-footed, looking to the left, steps left, throws back to the right. It's about 50 yards on a dime. He's pretty impressive.
I think the nice contrast here is what happened a week ago. Carolina came out and got in the hole early against the Saints. And you look at the Patriots, they jumped up 14-0. So I think they are where they are because they finished better than they did.
Meanwhile, the New York Giants aren't finishing. If you take out the final 75 seconds of games this year, they would be 10-2. Instead, they blow another late lead, a 10-point advantage. New York has an opportunity to kick a field goal. Yeah. Tom Coughlin elects to go for it on fourth down. It fails miserably. The Jets come back and win an OT.
Decent special team story there as well. You haven't seen Josh Brown miss field goals this week, much of this season, if at all, and he misses them in that game. So, yeah, I think situationally is kind of where they get the heat down there. I think Tom always has gotten the right guys in the building to do his stuff, but they don't win as often in some of those close moments. I think that causes some of the tension down
there. This was the most alarming one because the Jets had 10 points with 6 minutes left, and they had the ball 4th-and-2 inside the 10-yard line. You kick the field goal to go up 13 points on a team that has only scored 10 points up to that point. That's a bad one for Coughlin there. The other ones, you could say, okay, maybe Manning mismanaged the clock. Poor decisions, threw it away, didn't keep the clock moving, lost track of timeouts, all that stuff. I don't know how Tom Coughlin overcomes this one. I really don't.
Does anybody want to get into an up-and-down contest with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Not quite in the playoff picture, but getting there.
This guy.
And they're going to have a big impact on the playoff seedings because they've got Cincinnati and
Denver.
It's
one team I don't want to see in the playoffs.
We talked about that week one. Talked about in the event that these guys get the guy they actually still don't have, which they don't have Le'Veon Bell, so that sort of hypothetical isn't on the table anymore.
The back they got is pretty damn good.
Exactly.
So, it's
no drop-off there. I think the biggest issue for them, though, what makes them scary is Marcus Wheaton, and I know that's not a name that's going to jump off the... But because Martavis Bryant is so good, Antonio Brown is so good, but you always find this in a league. If they're good at the third spot, the fourth spot, they're doing this without Heath Miller. Didn't play a week ago. But when you start having 150, Wheaton's had 200-yard games. When you get that out of your third leg, you don't know where to shift coverage, and you become very dangerous.
Meanwhile, the Patriots back on a Sunday night stage. We'll see if they're ready for prime time coming up in our next segment here on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. Houston Texans, and you think, boy, we're going to talk about old friend Vince Wilfork. Well, it looks like he's been eating a couple cheeseburgers. We're going to talk about somebody else. Here's Vince in the middle, taking up two guys. He's a two-gap player, which creates problems because number 99, J.J. Watt. Look at the power. Look at the surge. Look at the effort to come back downhill and get the quarterback. After the way Brady's been hit these last 2 weeks, you better find out where number 99 is. Take a look at him here. You look at him here, you're thinking, okay, we got something coming. 4 week. No, watch the edge push right here. No helmet on. He doesn't even need a helmet to hit the quarterback. This is how tough this guy is. Now, freeze it right there. You take a look at it. Here's the Texans walking people up. What it does, it covers the offensive line, meaning, hey, you got a man up. So go ahead and roll the tape. Watch here on the end. Sebastian Vollmer stands him up, gets up underneath. I'm not saying Sebastian Vollmer's going to get stood up, but you better find out where number 99 is. He's J.J. Watt. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues. The Pat schedule continues, guys, and it will be a reunion of sorts because you've got Bill O'Brien, Romeo Crennel, and the Houston Texans going up against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
Mike Vrabel, his old friend Anthony Pleasant, you know, Brian Hoyer, Vince Wilfork. Let's go down the list. Concerned about this game because what? We've seen Tom Brady, going back to our previous segments, get knocked around more so than any other these last two games. So now you got a guy like Vince Wilfork, and we know Vince is a two-gap player. Mm-hmm. Two-gap player means you're taking two guys in the middle, which does what? Frees up a couple guys on one-on-ones on the outside. And you saw it in the Zoe Show, J.J. Watt, problematic rusher. And the last thing I want to see is this guy getting up in the grill of Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I think they're a team that has a lot of really great one-on-one players, and I think for that reason, as much as we've been advocating for the run, this might not be the week you see it, because the fronts that Zoe's talking about, that's all regular front. I got a feeling they'll push him to nickel a little bit more, which takes the big guy out of the middle.
They got pretty good linebackers, too.
They're a stacked group. You look at Cushing, you look at the former number one overall in Jadeveon Clowney, and you look at Watt. There's good players there. The problems they had early in the season, when this was a team that was really getting boot stomped by a lot of teams, quite frankly, was on the back. back end. But I think they've really steadied with Jackson and Joseph playing good at the corner. They're healthy now at the safety spot. That's really been sort of the turning point. J.J. Watt's been there before. J.J. Watt does what he always does, and they've lost by 40 points with him still doing what he does. So I think you need to sort of simplify the game in other areas and find the parts you can pick at.
Texans won four in a row before giving up 30 against Buffalo. First half, a bit of an aberration, the way they've been playing defensive late. Give up a lot of big plays in that game. Five plays for 30-plus yards to the Bills.
I mean, and this is not a shocking thing that Buffalo will take shots over the top. They're a big play team over the top. Give them credit for hitting a couple of those. But I think Billy O'Brien's done a nice job managing what he has. When I say what he has Brian Hoyer. I think Brian's a good game manager. I think we know what the ceiling is for him. So I think you might be able to take advantage of some of the things that he can't do. And, I mean, he's pretty much maxed out at what he's operating at right now.
Coaches are going to downplay the familiarity with one another and the similarities between the two styles of play. But how important is it to know Brian Hoyer almost inside and out? We saw what Matt Castle did last year with Minnesota. He really struggled against the passing.
Same terminology, same offense. So, I mean, it helps both sides because you're practicing against it and you're familiar with some of the calls. Once the ball's kicked, I think where Billy was, and he's like, you know, 4 years ago I was there.
Right.
So to think I really knew what Tom Brady is now as opposed to then, we all know Tom's a competitor. I think that's what he's going to bring to the table.
Rather than playbook terminology like that, I think that thing that helps them is really knowing what the other team's going to try to take away. What sort of their game planning sort of thrust is most likely going to be. And I think if you look at the Houston offense, DeAndre Hopkins, one of the most dangerous wide receivers in football. We just talked about Antonio Brown. This is really that other guy. This is the kind of team where we see the Patriots always use assets. It's highly unlikely you're going to see DeAndre Hopkins have an 80-yard touchdown pass. They're going to, I would imagine, do most of their efforts to take him off the board. From then, the game then reduces to the second and third and fourth options. Are they good enough in those spots, and will you be able to get the ball off Hoyer a time or two?
I play the heck out of Hoyer. I send the whole front seven, get Jamie Collins up in that A-gap, and make him beat you by hitting every single read.
Coach Belichick will be looking to take away the big play both offensively and defensively, keeping Watt from having the game-changing strip sack kind of play and making sure he doesn't have soloed situations with Clowney at any point where he's going to get the strip sack and take it the other direction. On the flip side, don't let DeAndre Hopkins have one-play series.
I understand your point. And he had a lot of those one-play series against the Jets a couple of weeks ago, and in particular matched up with Darrell Revis. Yeah. And you think they're going to have help for Malcolm Butler, but it would be really intriguing, again, to see Butler paired up with this guy.
It'd be fun, and I think Butler steps up to the challenge. I think Malcolm's played well all year. Give him a little safety help over the top. That doesn't hurt.
It is the one thing that's different. Remember, when you played the Steelers, you let Malcolm go on Antonio Brown quite a bit and without the help. But I think the Texans are made up a little differently. There's their number one, and there's a little bit more of a drop. I think with Steelers, with Brown, with some of the other guys, there's a little less of a drop-off. So this is one where I think you really don't want to be beaten by that one guy.
All right, it's Patriots and the Texans coming up. Game changers and the predictions right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Austin Seferian Jenkins is back on the field and should be back in your starting lineup. With quarterback Jameis Winston playing well, Tampa's second-year tight end should put up big numbers at home against a New Orleans secondary that has struggled all season. But have Devontae Freeman on the bench this week. The Falcons running back will have a hard time gaining much yardage against a terrific Panther defense in Carolina. This week's sleeper is Blaine Gabbert. A come-from-behind win against the Bears could give the 49ers QB the momentum to have a big game in Cleveland against the reeling Browns. This week's Fantasy Update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Welcome back to our Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. Sunday night, it's a matchup of the AFC East leading Pats and a team in contention in the AFC South, Houston. What happens, Godzilla?
Well, I think the defensive front, as we've been talking about, is your big game changer here. I'm going with Jamie Collins as the game changer. Patriots win this game, and they must win game. I'm saying must win game because they're not going to lose three in a row. I might lose my mind. 31-20. Patriots in this one.
I'm feeling a different style of game, A, because Houston generally plays that way, and I think the Patriots need to push it to this kind of style. I'm going to go Rob Ninkovich. I think this is one of those X-factor kind of games where it comes down to a strip sack, reading a screen of some sort, punching a ball out, making a play. Rob with more than a sack and maybe one of those game-changing kind of plays himself. Oh, score, 26 points.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Sosia, and thank you for joining us. So long from Patriots This Week.